Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're coming to you live from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, our good friend Todd Sadowski from Box 43 is here with us. Big week coming up. We're going to look backwards to look forwards, talking about Penn State's win over Illinois that was interesting for parts of it. We'll put it that way. Look around the Big Ten, around the country, an upset weekend, and Penn State avoided falling victim to that with 35 points in the fourth quarter. Good for them. We'll follow up with Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions answered by our own Greg Pickle here. So, guys, Penn State goes from 24-21 down to 63-24 Friday night win over Illinois, 42 unanswered, 35 in the fourth quarter. Also gave up some pretty easy rushing yards, and I think that's one of the things that's sticking with people. But, Greg, start with you. Just your thoughts, your takeaways on how that game unfolded and the fact that it was too close for comfort for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that it's over, right? Penn State goes on a Friday night excursion to Illinois, and there was not a lively atmosphere on hand. There was not, obviously, ideal conditions for James Franklin or his team. And when it comes to the day of the game and the time of the game, it was a 9 o'clock body clock start. So, I mean, I think the fact they got out of it mostly healthy and with a victory is about all you could ask for. And the final margin, of course, wasn't necessarily what the what a lot of people are thinking about today. They're thinking about the fact that Penn State was trailing a 25-point underdog in Illinois at one point in the third quarter. But, you know, I think we know now what this Penn State team is. It's going to have some games when it's really – it's going to have some points in games where it looks like it could beat anybody. And then it's going to have points in games where it looks like it couldn't beat, you know, the worst group of five teams. So, again, they get out of there with a victory. I think that's probably the biggest plus of all. And now they're on Ohio State.
Well, 34,000 packed into Memorial Stadium in Illinois, right, first off. I mean, then, what a crowd out there.
And then when it first looked like the game was getting away, that 34,000 was down to about 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you didn't look around the stadium, if you were looking down, it was really easy to forget that you were at a football game because there was no excitement. There was no, you know, we were walking into the stadium and people were sitting there and they were tailgating, having a Labatt and all that good stuff. And they didn't even look excited. They just kind of were sitting there like, oh well, we paid for this spot, so I guess we'll go. Guess we'll have dinner there tonight. It was a weird atmosphere for a football game.
It was crazy Friday night football, and for anybody that wasn't really paying attention, and then on Saturday they're trying to find Penn State. It's like, where's the football game? Well, they've already won for this week, and it's really interesting because you're watching and, yeah, you know, the panic button's going off. Oh, they're down 24-21. And that's, oh, okay. Well, yeah, Sanders runs it in. It's 28-24, then 35 and 42. Oh, all right. And suddenly the anger, not the anger, but the concern starts to dissipate, right? And then you're like, by the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, they're destroying them. Those poor Fighting Illini fans, 63-24. And there's a real appreciation for what this offense is capable of doing because, yes, there's concerns about the rushing defense. Of course, this is a different club that's coming to Happy Valley this weekend. But, you know, three straight games, guys, where they've went on a 40-plus unanswered points.
Yeah.
And that's not only an appreciation for the offense of how quickly they can score, but it's also for the defense, too. I mean, when they piece it together, so the defense deserves some kudos as well. The rushing attack, oh my gosh, I think they're still running over those guys. So the offensive line really took over. And I think we're talking about a roster situation where they're getting inferior opponents and they're just pummeling them later in the game. Ohio State's roster is pretty deep. I'm not so sure that's going to be able to happen. But, you know, I think I'm going to watch this game and look at it and say, well, maybe we're looking at a situation like last year where Penn State went ahead on the road. And with the crowd behind them, Ohio State just kind of came back in a surge. That potentially could play out this Saturday night. So the offense can score quickly is what we learned and what we have learned, and that they're committed to the rushing game too.
There's a couple parts of that I want to unpack a little bit further, but I think one of the big questions is you talk about halftime adjustments at Pitt, halftime adjustments at Illinois. Why struggle so badly for 30 minutes? These are both road night games. I think some adverse weather in both cases. I'm not making excuses or anything here, but what is taking so long to make those adjustments? Why aren't they happening sooner? Why are they starting off so slowly in the first place?
I mean, I was interested by James Franklin saying after the game that he thought Illinois either knew that could either they had Penn State signals or they were Penn State had some kind of tell to show where it was blitzing from, because he was convinced that Illinois was running plays right at their blitzes, right where they weren't, and picking up big yards. And if you go back and watch it, it's hard to argue with him. I mean, he was absolutely right about that. So that's even more troubling. It's not that you're starting slow, but you're giving away what you're going to do to your opponent, and then they're taking advantage of it. So, yeah.
How would Pat Narduzzi have handled that?
Yeah, he probably would have asked the officials about, let's not even get into that. At the end of the day, the problem, and James Franklin talked about this 2 weeks ago, is that at some point you might get into a first half hole you can't dig yourself out of. And Penn State so far has been fortunate to every time they get into these holes, they erase them with 30 points, 42 points, whatever it is. But at some point, you're going to run into a defense that doesn't allow you to do that. It might be as soon as this week.
And they've been gashed in the running game.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the concern, is that they'll go up against a team that isn't going to stop doing that, and it's just going to physically be able to manhandle you all night long up the middle. So the defensive tackle position has been key from the get-go. We saw what happened game one, and then Kevin Givens came back. You know, who thought? I mean, I guess we all talked about how valuable Kevin Givens could be, but he has certainly proven to be one of the more valuable players on the team, and they're going to need him to play a spectacular game against Ohio State. Well, also, and I think that's probably where the main concern is Illinois, yes, you can all of a sudden stop them, or Pitt, all of a sudden you can stop what they're doing. I'm not so sure you can stop what Ohio State's doing. You're probably going to have to outscore them flat out just to win this game.
I would agree with that for sure. The Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, you got to check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games. There's a free shuttle to the game, large projection TV there, free Wi-Fi. You can enjoy tailgating with a 409 barbecue and wine, along with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and Labatt Beer. Go to PSURV.com for all the details to check that out, especially in advance of Ohio State. Once again, GoPSURV.com. There's a lot of negatives to dwell on from Illinois, but there's also a 63-24 win. There's also the 42 points. I wonder, Greg, can you safely say that Penn State is becoming a run-first team?
Yeah,
I think existentially, it feels like there's a transformation. Not that they couldn't run the ball, obviously, before, but Saquon Barkley got so much attention before. There was decoy. They had the game plan around the fact that he was going to get that attention.
Yeah.
Now it looks like this is the strength of the offense.
Yeah.
They're not in sync in the passing game. We know that, and I think that will come over time. But at this point, I think the road to beating Ohio State is through Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Penn State did in this win over Illinois. I mean, who would have thought that, and of course the stats don't want to load, but I mean, Trace McSorley was what, like 11 of 22 or something like that, maybe a little bit better, but certainly, like he's been all year, he hits a couple big plays down the field, but his accuracy and his completion percentage are both very low, and it just doesn't matter. Michael Bennett talked 2 weeks ago about, if they're going to have a good game, they're going to have 200 yards rushing. And this offensive line has done that now on a couple of different occasions. Miles Sanders, of course, gets 200 himself on 22 carries this past week. So, yeah, I think that we're seeing Penn State's offensive line become a strength. And really, they could even still be a year away, but this group is about as good as they've had in the Franklin era.
Well, I've got them at 12 of 19 for three touchdowns. But you really want completion percentage, we're going to bring in Sean Clifford, because the guy doesn't throw any incompletions is what we've come to discover. And
he's amazing.
He goes pretty deep. But, look, I mentioned just the outscoring, and I think that's part of where college football has gone. Every defense is going to be vulnerable to superior offenses, especially in the secondary. Will they be able to stop Dwayne Haskins and what he can do? The freshman quarterback for Illinois is pretty impressive. Anytime you've got guys that can continue drives, and Trace McSorley's been doing this to teams now in his third season, that can continue drives with their feet, you're going to frustrate defense and continue to move the chains. Penn State, I think, is really going to have to concentrate on rushing lanes and being disciplined with Dwayne Haskins and try and get a pass rush on him. So, like I said before, though, we might be talking about just a flat-out shootout when it comes to Ohio State. And I'm looking at the drive chart. I think the drive chart's pretty fascinating when you look at, you know, Penn State scored touchdowns in 3 minutes and 32 seconds, 1 minute and 31 seconds, 4 minutes and 24 seconds, 1:24, how about 9 seconds, you know, like one play. And they're doing that still committed to the run. When you commit to the run, you're usually eating off 6-7 minute drives, that type of stuff. But they're just gashing teams with big chunk plays. And I think they'll beat them with a balanced offense. I think the only way they're going to beat them is with the balanced offense. I don't think they're going to be able to be run-oriented. I do think the offensive line is vastly improved. Maybe if it's the offensive line that you needed last year in, you know, Columbus to finish that game off late in the game, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. Of course, a lot depends on whether Nick Bosa is going to be out there too. So, you know, you mentioned, Dustin, unpack a lot of this stuff. We could talk for days leading up to this game. It's really a fascinating matchup.
That's how I feel coming out of every game and going into every game. We could talk about it for a long time. But just the way that Illinois unfolded, and with the whole – it was all in the context – I don't know about you guys, but you're watching all this in the context of, like, will this fly against Ohio State? And I think to some degree, the first four games of the year, you're watching all those games. Like, will this fly against Ohio State? And there were definitely some times where you think no. But at the same time, you know, it looked like Miles Sanders could have run straight into the backs of his offensive linemen on some of those plays and gotten 6 yards. They were blowing Illinois off the ball. I do think Illinois, one of the bottom, say, three defensive lines, especially in the interior, they're just not there yet. So I think you need to see how that applies against Ohio State. But I think there's hope that they can clear the way and you use that run to set up the pass. I think Penn State's still a big play threat through the air. I think you're starting to see some of these pieces start to come around a little bit. Juwan Johnson stepping into, you know, his best game of the year, a key catch at that point in the game, 28-24, a third and 12, I think it was, deep in Illinois zone, and he catches that ball, which I think only he could have made that catch. You start to have some hope that they can start to make some connections there in the passing game too.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, worry I have is that App State's a top 40 defense, and they haven't really played anybody since Penn State. And all these other defenses that Penn State's beat up on are, you know, just not very good. I mean, Ohio State's defense with the same token, though. I mean, they're like 50-51 in the country, so they're not world beaters either. So I guess that's the biggest worry for me, is just simply that, does Penn State's offense replicate what it did against in these first few games? As you mentioned, does what happened at Illinois work against Ohio State?
So our good friend Todd here said we could talk for days about Penn State and Illinois. Talk for days about Penn State, Ohio State. We will talk for minutes about those things. We got more show coming up. We're going to talk a little bit more Penn State, Illinois, and kind of frame it around this Ohio State matchup that lingers ahead coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.